There's something that I said earlier, which was now is the time, and that is true. I believe that now is the time. But there was also something else I wrote down just to remind me not to forget to say it. And it simply is Isaiah 61. Those of you that are visiting, I do pray that you'll be blessed. If you're here with us for the first time, or maybe you've been before, I do pray that God will richly bless you. But Isaiah 61 says that he binds up the broken hearts and he sets the captives free. So if you're bound, God wants to set you free. If you're brokenhearted, he wants to mend you. How good is that? There was something during worship, a word that wouldn't leave me, and that was the word why. Well, do you know what? I can't answer the whys. I don't know if you can, but I can't answer the whys. But what I can do is bring scripture, his word. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And so I can bring you the good news, but I can't answer the whys. And if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, I pray that you will hear what God is saying. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, I do pray that you would be blessed, because our heart here in Grace is that you would be a blessing. And last week I brought this concept of the word suddenly. So I want to just use that again today and read a portion of scripture and then read the other scriptures that God has given me, I believe, and see what he says to you. Because it's for you to listen, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And how many of you know that in church life, when you become a Christian, God really does convince us, convict us, enable us, but he empowers us too. So if you've got a why, then I can't answer that, but maybe God can. In Acts 12, verse 7, it says this: suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. Let's look around that portion of scripture. Let's just go back up to 12:1. It was about this time. What time was that? If you read around this portion of scripture, you'll see it's another time that the Herods of this world, who really didn't like God, really didn't like his people. Remember, he tried to kill Christ just after he was born. The Herods of this world, they were persecuting God's church. It's around this time. Herod had some belonging to the church, had some arrested, some though. Let me start again. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. It happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison. This is a why that I can't answer. Why did James get put to death and Peter got put in prison? Have you ever thought about that? I don't know. And I was listening to what Michelle had to bring the other week, and she made a point, and she said, one thing that troubled me in the story of the Good Samaritan was that it was said, what do I have to do? Well, you can't do anything. It's what Christ has already done. So I don't know the whys. I don't know why James was put to death and Peter was put in prison, but this is the way it is. And when we look at this portion of scripture, whether we like it or not, it's part of the sovereign will of God. And one person may have two legs and one person may have one. Mike could say, why did I have that accident? Why am I in a wheelchair? But you know what? After speaking to that man, he doesn't blame God. He says, well, God, I want to know you more. I don't know the whys. I don't know the why in your life, but I do know this: that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whatever it is you're going through, his word is true. I will never leave you or forsake you. I can't answer the whys, but when the suddenlies come, God's not caught out by surprise. He knows you. He loves you. He wants to encourage you. After they arrested him, they put him in prison, handed him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out in public for public trial after the Passover. Remember what happened about Jesus. They wasn't going to let this man go. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And that's what the church should be doing, isn't it? We should be praying. We don't know the whys. We don't understand what's going to happen when the suddenlies come, but we are called to pray. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. The sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, this is the suddenly, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and you can almost imagine this man in deep sleep, thinking, what's going on? Surely I am seeing a vision, and that's what he thought. The angel of light appeared, and he shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. He had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. They went through, and when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. And the see suddenly is that I want to major on, because they creep up on us. That's what suddenly means. It's now. Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without doubt that the Lord has sent his angel to rescue me from Herod's clutches." And I want to paraphrase a bit, and rather than just read all this story. He got to the house of his fellow disciples, those that were called the church, and they were earnestly praying, yes? And he knocked on the door, sound effects. He knocked on the door, and Rhoda came to the door, and she recognized his voice, and she ran back and said, "It's him, it's Peter." And they said, "Don't be stupid. It's just a vision, it's an angel. You're hearing things. Maybe you've had too much wine. You're just a servant girl." And she came back, "No, it's him." And the thing that really struck me, and I hope it struck you, is this. The church were praying earnestly for him to be released. And yet once he was released, they couldn't accept the miracle. The suddenlies come in our lives, and we can accept the suddenlies. Like suddenly there's pain, and you go, "Woe is me," and "Happy is woe." And I understand the pain. You get the suddenly in life. But when God answers a prayer, we don't always see it, do we? And here's another thing. In Matthew 21:22, it says this: "If you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer." So in our prayer group on a Tuesday, we have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. We have seen God's mighty hand move in these last 13 or so years that we've been in fellowship one with another. And one of the things we encourage each other to do on a weekly basis is pray as if your prayers have been answered. How do we do that? Glad you asked. When you say, "Lord, will you bless me? And Father God, I thank you for your blessing." That's praying as if your prayers have been answered. Father God, we pray that you would have mercy on Peter. We pray that you would release Peter. We pray that he would come home safe to us. And Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you're going to break the chains. We thank you that you're going to do a miracle. That's a way that we can pray as if our prayers have been answered. Because it's about faith, not faith in me, not faith in your own ability, but faith in God. It's impossible for God to do nothing when we call on him. We might not get the answer we want. We might get the wise. You know, to understand the scripture that says to live is Christ, to die is gain, is such a difficult one if you lose a loved one. Isn't it? To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's far better to be with him, to be absent from the body, at home with the Lord. And it's so difficult because we've been made fearfully and wonderfully, and we have emotions, and we have different expectations of our life, expectations in our life. We have passion and compassion. But we need to grab hold of what God says, that when the suddenlies come, that we pray as if our prayers have already been answered. In Romans 8, verse 34, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, sits at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword?" No. God, Christ sits at the right hand of God, this portion of scripture says, interceding for you. So when you pray, when the suddenlies come, you're not on your own. He's there. He wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. If we go up a bit further, I like to read scripture. I like God's word to speak to us rather than just my words, because his word is salt and light. He is the light in the darkness. His word is the foundation in which we build upon. It's not a story, but it's a truth that comes through God's written word and his rhema word. He speaks to us and through us. In Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. This is a man that has walked with God. He says, I know what it is to be hungry, and I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to be beaten. I know what it is to be persecuted. I know what it is to be maligned and mocked by my enemies. I know what it is to be chastened by my friends. I consider that the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So as a church, as an individual Christian, we should always have our eyes set on eternity. Because this is but a momentary vapor, God says. We can taste heaven now, yes? And I'm grateful for that. But there is an eternal perspective. Christ came. Why did he go back? Because he's coming back again for his bride. That's you and me. And for those that are left, he's coming back for us. So we should have one eye on what God's doing in our life now. And we should have maybe the other eye saying, Lord, what's to come? But Paul says that he's been suffering, but it's not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For creation waits in eager anticipation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage of decay and brought into the freedom, the glory of the children of God. This talks about a future. It talks about a present as well. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up until this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies. The suddenlies come and they can overwhelm us. The suddenlies come, but we need to be a people that know that our feet are on the foundation, that God does not change, that he loves us, he encourages, nothing can separate us from his love. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? It's about believing for what God is going to do in us and thanking him for it before we receive it. But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. That's a difficult word, isn't it? Patiently. Lord, when? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. This is an important portion of Scripture because there's times where the suddenlies come and we go, Lord, what do we do? Well, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells within a Christian. We're born again of his Spirit. He dwells within us. He gives us what we need when we need it. He helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. Christ in you. Jesus is interceding for you. He sent the Spirit. He sent the Comforter to comfort you, to encourage you, to convict you, to convince you, to enable you, to heal you. When the suddenlies come, let's look at him. Look upon Christ. When the suddenlies come, let's pray as if our prayers have already been answered. That's through thanksgiving. He intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. There is a will that God has for my life and your life. And I don't know the whys. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know it's part of the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So if you have a why, if you have a suddenly in your life, then this portion of Scripture maybe could talk to you afresh. As we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. If you love him, he's working for your good. the ones who have been called in accordance to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be more like Christ. Scripture tells us that I must decrease that he may increase, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. All of that to say this: what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, remember, we don't know the answer to the whys. If God is for us, God is for you. We don't know, sometimes, we don't know what to do with the suddenlies in our lives, but God is for us. Pray as if our prayers have already been answered. What shall then we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, or how will he not also along with him generously, graciously give us, that's you and me, all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life. In Christ we are more than conquerors, is what the word is saying here. We are more than conquerors. There's a great story that I like to repeat, and I won't do the full actions, but it's when I watched the Rocky films, and there was a scene there that I was a bit poetic with. And if you've watched Rocky, you'll know that there's blood and gore, and one punch after another punch, and Rocky goes down to the floor, and he gets up with a bloody face, and you think he's going to lose, and then right at the last second he wins. He's a champion. He's a conqueror. And this is the poetic bit. If you know the film, you'll understand what I'm saying. If you don't, this will go right over your head. There is his wife. Her name is Adrienne. And she's a shy, nervous individual that wants to hide in the shadows. And the picture I have there is this man has just gone and he's fought for his life. And at the last minute, he stands up and we can say, wow, Rocky is a conqueror. And this is the bit. The $1 million check is placed in his hand, and Adrienne comes up and she goes, thank you. She is more than a conqueror. He did the work, she got the reward. Does that make sense? Jesus did the work. Jesus fought the fight. Jesus took the blows. Jesus was crucified. You pick up the check. I pick up the check. We are more than conquerors. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. We don't just go into battle with a bloody nose. We are more than that. Why? Because he has already fought the fight for you. He has already died so that you can live. He has already paid so that you can receive the check. He has already given of himself so you can take. When the suddenlies come, don't let them overpower you. When the suddenlies come, pray as if your prayers are being answered. Don't be overtaken by the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. You mean, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm struggling with my finances. Lord, expect the unexpected. Give your way out of poverty. We don't like to hear that, do we? God, give me. Well, you give and I'll give you back. Lord, heal me. Pray for someone else. Bless someone else and I'll bless you. There's a great message that God has right through his word. Expect the unexpected. Well, this will never happen. What are we praying there? It will never happen. The disciples were in the room and they were praying. Lord, Father God, release Peter. Release our brother. That he may come home safely. And when he comes home, they don't believe it. I don't want us to be a church that don't believe. I want us to be a church that does believe. I want us to be a church that will be who God's called us to be. In Daniel 3:14, this portion of scripture I really am inspired by, because it says so much to me. I'll read a part of the story and I'll try and put it into a bit of context through my mind's eye of what it's saying. It's talking about Nebuchadnezzar said to them, that's Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, he said to them, bow down and worship me. And if you don't, I'm going to put you into a fiery furnace, and then who will save you? If you don't know the story, look in Daniel 3, starting at 14, and read what's happening. Read what's happening in these men's lives. And there's a portion of scripture here that really inspires me, really speaks to me. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king Nebuchadnezzar, We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this. Remember, their life was at stake. We do not need to defend ourselves in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. Now remember what they've said here. I've looked at other translations and it says roughly the same thing, that the God we serve is able. He is able. We are more than conquerors. They haven't read the scripture yet. They couldn't watch the Rocky film, but they are more than conquerors. And they was walking in a way in which they believed God, wasn't they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. But this is the bit that really inspires me. And he says this, he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve you or your gods. We will not worship the image of gold that you have set up. What they were saying was this. We are going to pray as if our prayers are answered. We know that our Redeemer lives. We know that you cannot hold us captive. We know that you may throw us into the fire, but we'll never be yours. If God doesn't deliver us here on earth, we will still not worship you or your God. And there's times in our lives while we're here in the natural, in the physical, that we need to pray those prayers. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Lord, heal me. Even if you don't, I'm not going to serve them other gods. Lord, prosper me. Even if you don't, I'm not going to serve them other gods. Lord, help me on my journey. Lord, do this for me. But even if you don't, I will not serve these other gods. What that does for us, it indicates that it's Christ in us, that he has done a transformation within us. We've been born again, spirit filled. It's not just religion. Religion will say, when things don't go well, then God can't be real. Relationship says, Lord, you've said to me, you'll never leave me or forsake me. Even if you don't deliver me from this pit, I won't serve this world. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. So when the suddenlies come, pray as if your prayers are answered. Speak from our mouths. Use words that will encourage and lift up and not pull down. In Luke 17:5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Why did they say that? Well, glad you asked. It's talking about forgiveness when you read up a bit further. If someone errs against you, if they sin against you, then they come and they ask forgiveness. Forgive them. And then they go on and say, but what about if they offend me a second time? Then forgive them again. But what about if they offend me a third time? Then hit them over the head with a piece of 2x2. No, it doesn't say that. It says forgive them. Forgive them. What about if they come back seven times? Seven times, forgive them. 77 times, forgive them. Then the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. There may be times that you are praying, nothing happens. Lord, increase our faith. There may be times where you're offended by someone or something. Lord, increase our faith. There may be times where you feel God's not listening to you, that nothing seems to get through. Lord, increase our faith. He replied, Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed. And he gives examples of the mulberry bush or the mulberry tree that could be uprooted and the mountain that could be removed. That's what we need to pray for if we're not seeing things in our lives. If the suddenlies come to overtake, Lord, increase our faith. Maybe there's an impossibility in the natural. Lord, there's no way that this is going to happen. I can't see it. Lord, increase my faith. Remember, Peter was in an impossible situation. He was in prison. He was surrounded by guards. There weren't just a few soldiers. There was multiple soldiers. He was chained. It seemed impossible, didn't it? But what did the church do? You're the church. What should you do? Pray. 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 And change can be broken. Relationships can be mended. Finances can be increased. God can give us grace and humility to take what the world throws at us. God can give us the opportunity and the grace to forgive and to forgive and to forget and to move forward. God can circumcise the heart where man circumcises the flesh. Nothing is impossible for God. But we are a people, I believe, that the same power, we heard it today, the same power that lived in Christ lives in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Let's pray as if our prayers have already been answered. In Romans 13:12. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. I read this portion of scripture on Thursday through my study, and the word armour of light just really struck me. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. Let's put aside the deeds of darkness. We know what the deeds of darkness is. It's listed in scripture if you want to know. Let's put on the armour of light. God's word says this, that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And where there is light, there can be no darkness. When we talk about armor, when we read around this portion of scripture, there is a spiritual armor that God has given each and every one of us. Put on the helmet of salvation. I am saved. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God saved me. That's truth. When the suddenlies come to overpower and overtake, put on the armor of light. Get rid of the misdeeds of darkness. Let darkness be pushed out. If there's more of God, there'll be less of you. Yes? If there's more of God, there'll be less of you. If I say, Lord, you increase in my life, then I decrease in my life. So I become less, he become more. So where there is light, it pushes out darkness. So if there's darkness in our lives, if there's darkness around us, let's pray that the light of God's love comes in and pushes it out. Let's pray as if our prayers have been answered, so when the suddenlies come, we won't be overtaken. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Let's be a people that will understand his word, receive his word. Let the light of his love push out the darkness. Let's be a church that will understand that when the suddenlies come, God never changes because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's be a church that understands that we are more than conquerors. He did the work so we could walk in the victory. He did the work so we could walk in the victory. Let's be a church that will pray, believing our prayers are being answered. So when we pray, we give God thanks. We come to church not to listen to someone like me, but to give him thanks. Because life is tough, isn't it? Or is it just me? Life is tough. Be of good cheer, God says, I've overcome the world. He's overcome the world. We're in it, but we're not of it, it says. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And I want to say that to myself and to us as a church. Let's live a life worthy of the calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And when you take the word bearing, to bear with, it's not to put up with. Oh, just got to put up with you. You've got to put up with me. And that's not what God is saying. When you take the word bear, it's to prove, it's to hold up, it's to take a load of weight. So there may be someone in your life that's suffering at the moment. Bear with them, lift them up. You hold the weight of what they're going through. There may be someone that you need to draw alongside and you need to pray and intercede for them because they don't have the faith that God has given you. To bear with one another, to be gentle with one another. You can't change me and I can't change you. But by you lifting me up, you can pray that God changes me. Bear with me. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let's not be a people, whether in a church situation or a family situation or the workplace, that tears apart. Let's be those that build up through the bond of peace. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Take it. Take his peace. Let him build you. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There is a hope. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. God permeates us. He lives in us and through us. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. God's given you a measure of grace. I want to leave you with just one final scripture and we'll have some worship and finish and let God continue to work in our lives. Matthew 7:26. But everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking. When you look through scripture, there's certain passages in red. If you have a Bible with red letters, it indicates that's what Jesus said. There's other words that are in black that are God breathed. All scripture is to encourage. All scripture is useful, it says, for building up, for correcting, for edifying, for directing. But these red words, which is what I'm about to read, are from Christ himself. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So the opposite to that is this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. So Bible encourages, it says, don't just be hearers of the word. So don't just listen to what God says. Do what God says. Look at what he's saying through his word. Let his grace manifest through you. Let the truth of what's being spoken come into your heart. And if you go, this is God, then do it. And as we start to do the things God has called us to do, when the suddenlies come, they won't overtake us. When the suddenlies come, we won't be overtaken. Grief will not overtake us. Sadness will not overtake us. Unbelief will not overtake us. The sense of this will never change will not overtake us. Let's be a people. Let's be a church. Let's be individuals that take God at his word. So when the suddenlies come, you will remember you are more than conquerors. Amen. Let's worship the Lord, take up our tithe and offering, and let's stay and have a bit of fellowship together. Let God continue to talk to us and through us. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, Father God. Encourage us to believe for the impossible to be made possible. Father God, today we give you our suddenlies. Whatever your suddenly is, give it to him. Lord, we give you our suddenlies. And Father God, we pray now that you would make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, you'd come and you would heal our bodies. You would heal our relationships. You would breathe upon our finances. You would give us a greater measure of grace. Lord, you would strengthen our weak areas. Lord, you would manifest your presence in us and through us, that we may be all that you've called us to be, all that your word says that I am. Lord, I want to claim. Today, Lord, is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen.